not everybody has faith. Now, who would agree with me here now that faith is a gift from God, given to us the moment we repent for our sins and we accept Christ? That faith is a gift. Amen? Not all men, not all people, not all women, not all boys and girls have faith. And I think that's where some of the culture clashes come in, when people of faith who know the Lord and know the right way and the way of righteousness and the way of holiness, that we seek to pursue that, and other people just mock at us, laugh at us, they try to come against us for whatever reason. They do that because they don't have faith. We can't reason them, as it were, into the kingdom. God needs to save their soul, and God needs to impart faith into their hearts. Amen? I want to entitle the message tonight, and I'm just kind of wanting to be a chill message, but I want to entitle it, How Big Is Your Faith? How many of y'all know that Jesus referred to faith in terms of levels of faith? Right? What did he tell his disciples more than once? Why did you doubt, O ye of little faith? So, you know, I've heard a lot of Christians say, oh, if I could just walk with Jesus and talk with Jesus like the disciples did, I would have all kinds of faith. Is that true, church family? No, they were up close and personal with a master for 3.5 years. And what level was their faith? It was little faith. What about those guys, four guys that took their friend, the paralytic, to Jesus, but the house was so full, presumed to be the house of Peter in Capernaum. I think it's in Mark chapter 2. But they couldn't get in because of the masses surrounding that house. So they had a brilliant idea. Let's go through the roof. So they climbed up. They pulled this guy by ropes, I presume. And then they started tearing the roof, the straw off the roof of the house. I could just picture Jesus teaching inside the house. And then all of a sudden, little small plumes of dust coming down, and then here comes a clot of soil, a clot of dust, and then boom, 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 and it just starts coming down. And the Bible says that Jesus saw their what? Faith. Jesus saw their faith. So we went from little faith to faith. Now, those were Jews. Who did Jesus commend it as having great faith, though? The centurion, the outsiders, two people. There was a Roman centurion whose servant was sick, and he told Jesus, Jesus, you don't have to come to my place. Just speak the word. I am a man under authority, and I am a man of authority. And I tell this man to go, and he goes, and this man to come, and he comes. And he said, Master, you don't have to bother coming to my house. Just speak the word. The Bible says that Jesus was astonished at his faith. He said he recognized there is no such thing as this kind of great faith in all of Israel. Wow, the people that should have had the greatest faith did not have it, and the people that did not know the Lord had the greatest faith. So can I make a point here, church family? Sometimes could we be educated beyond our own intellect? Right? We know too much. We suffer. Jesus suffers from familiarity. Yes, Lord, I believe you can bless me, but if it be thy will. You know, there's too much. I think that is one of the greatest faith killers, is attaching "if it be thy will" to all of your prayers. Isn't the prayer of faith believing that God can, number one, and that God will, number two? And not just sliding it this little caveat of, Lord, it all depends on your will. Maybe you want to, maybe you don't. But if you want to, that'd be great. But if you don't, that's okay. Is that faith? The Roman centurion said, speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Was there an "if it be thy will" attached to that? No. He said with confidence, Isn't faith the confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? Hebrews 11:1. It is confidence. How much confidence then is there in if it be thy will? Not much. Maybe so, maybe not. So we throw it back on the Lord, saying, well, Lord, it's up to you. When the Lord's saying, what do you want? Where is confidence? Where is your faith? So already we've seen three levels of faith. No faith, little faith. Well, actually four. No faith, little faith, faith, and great faith. The best the Jews could muster up was to have faith. The Gentiles had great faith. Amen? Great faith. Now, so I want to ask us this question. Where is our faith at? Do you believe, as Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even dare to imagine? Do we believe that He's able? I hope so, because it's in the Bible. Can I follow that question up with a second question? Do we believe that He is willing? We know that God is able, but the faith issue seems to have the hardest point of meeting God is, I know He is able, but I don't know if He is willing. Once again, if it be thy will. Right? 20. Ephesians 3:20, the last scripture. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever dare to ask or even imagine. That's powerful. You know, I want to share a story of the way the Lord once showed me His power. And I think that out of His grace, He gave my faith where it was at, my level of faith at one point where it was at, a massive jump start. It's like the Lord took these massive heavenly cables and plugged them into my spiritual battery of faith. And He turned on His, you know, generator in heaven and just, oh, all of a sudden I had a massive faith boost and I've never gone back. So let me explain what happened. You know, I love to listen to messages. And one time I was, me and my daughters were in El Paso, Texas, visiting my mom. And this probably would have been 2008. It was Gabby who went with me that year to go see mom and dad, who was alive at that time in El Paso. And so we took them and we went to hear a speaker, and the speaker was talking about faith and the power, and he was saying how God just lavishes him with blessings. And I remember vividly, so clear. You know, how many of y'all know that I got a steel trap mind? You're like, oh, Lord, sometimes it makes me sick. No, but I remember where I was sitting, and I remember looking at the speaker, and he was talking about how he was going to Hawaii and how more believers need to have faith to go to Hawaii. And I'm thinking, under my breath, I'm thinking, you piddly, sniveling, little, cocky preacher. I didn't like what he was saying. And then he said, oh yeah, one of my friends invited me to the Indy 500 and I had a VIP pass and I was able to access all the garages and see all the cars and see the, he said, I left before the ending and it was one of the best endings ever. And I thought, you know, that really stuck with me. And it bothered me, to be honest with you, because I thought, you know, that shouldn't be a measure of faith. But on the inside, I longed, never been at that time to Hawaii, and I longed to go to Hawaii, and who wouldn't want to go see the Indy 500, whether you're a fan or not? I did. And so a couple years later, well actually, yes, the beginning of 2010, my friend had lost his mom in a tragic, what do they call those jet skis? She was on a jet ski and a boat hit her and killed her instantly. She was out in Hawaii because she had a timeshare and was killed instantly. I went to see my friend, the company. He's my best friend, Burke. He was part of the 30-year, you know, the guy that really stuck it to me with that gift certificate. just trying to be a friend to him. And he said, you know, I have the timeshare through the end of 2010. He told me, he said, why don't you and your wife come out to Hawaii? I said, boy, that's a tempting offer, but I don't have the money. He said, bro, I will pay for your airplane flight, and you won't have to worry about hotel because we have a timeshare with several rooms. And I said, well, okay. So I talked to my wife at the time, Gabby's mom. We talked about it, and I was still hem-hawing around. So I called my younger brother, Jerry, who lives in Florida, because he had been there a couple times before. He had lived in Hawaii, in fact. He's like, Joe, jump on it. He's like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I said, well, I don't know where I'm going to get money for the car rental. Long story short, people, friends, and family got behind our idea and gave us money to go to where all that was out of pocket was $1.25 to go to Hawaii. How many of y'all know that he is able to do exceeding abundantly? When in my heart I was doubting, in my heart I was cynical towards that preacher saying, when he said, more of you believers need to believe God for something big, you know, believe that you can go to Hawaii. And to this day, I cannot explain. I didn't lose anything out of pocket. Is God able, church family? Is God willing if it's a desire of our heart? And remember, the second thing that preacher said was, you know, he had been to the Indy 500, one of the best finishes. And 2013, the Boston Marathon came up. Me getting into the Boston Marathon that year was miraculous. The Boston Marathon, you know, looks at your qualifying times. They ask for your running times, your best running times, because not anybody can just up and decide to run Boston. But because you have to qualify, there are limited amounts. And now more and more runners are so interested in running that race that they even have to make their time shorter, the qualifying times harder to run Boston, because the field of runners is so huge. So, but they had, there was this treadmill company that had a giveaway. They said, enter your name to win a free spot in the 2013 Boston Marathon race. So I entered it, didn't think anything of it. I thought that was cool. A couple weeks later, I receive an email from the Boston Athletic Association saying, please give us your best qualifying times. They wanted my times to see if I could still run it, because they didn't want me waiting. You know, they didn't want to wait 10 hours after the first runner went through, you know, for me to finish. And so I did, and then they came back after I submitted my times, and they said, please pay just this amount for your entry, and you are in. And I thought, that's a God thing. I felt like God parted. That had been a lifelong dream of mine, an adult dream, that I felt like I could never get in. And all of a sudden, the Lord parts the Red Seas for me. That same year, you know, after the bombings, I was bummed. And then a couple weeks after that, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway sent invitations to 33 runners from three different states, Indiana, Illinois, and Michigan. And they said, we want you to symbolically finish or start, your half a mile, because many of us runners were stuck a half a mile before finishing. And so we want you to symbolically finish your half a mile. So they put us on turn four of the speedway. And it was all over SportsCenter. It was all over ABC Sports. And I'm like, you know me, pandering to the cameras. Never. I'm such a humble man of God. Anyway, so ran it. And after that day, we had VIP passes. They treated us, church family, they treated us like kings and queens. They put us on a red carpet. The media was taking photos of us. They were doing interviews with us. I think I did that day alone, I did 7 or 8 interviews with 7 different media outlets. They paid for everything. They paid for everything. And it wasn't until the end of that day that it dawned on me that I heard the preacher say, I was invited to the Indy 500. And you know, me, I didn't stick around for the end either. And it was one of the best finishes. So let me ask you, based off of that, can God do the impossible? Amen. I want to encourage us, going into 2021, what difficulties, what changes would you like to see? What amazing things would you like to see God do for you, for your family, for your loved ones? Because He is big. He is big. You know, my lady, she's on fire for Jesus. She is on fire. That woman, I'm telling you right now, I'm finding out, she has a prophetic gift. She knows. She's very discerning, and she sees through pretension. She sees through all this stuff. She has a prophetic gift. Maybe one of these days I'll explain to you all the ways that I've seen it work out, and I'm like, scary. But she'll believe God for anything because she hasn't been taught religion, and religion teaches us God is able, but we never know if God is willing, if it be thy will. See how that's a faith killer? Where is our faith? What are we trusting God for? What do we want to see happen that we haven't maybe come to grips that God could make happen for us? This morning we talked about restoration. You know, I've been open with you about the kind of relationship that I've had with my middle daughter, and how for the longest time, for years, there were Christmases she didn't even bother sending a Merry Christmas, not even a text. Father's Day, years that she didn't even say Happy Father's Day. You know, we've ironed all that out, and we're talking now, but we're talking at a level that we've never spoken before. You know, I asked her the other day, I said, "Hey, sweet girl, what are some of your challenges, some of the things that you struggle with in your Christian walk with Jesus?" And she said, and she opened her heart, she told me. And I opened my heart and I told her, we had never in my 54 years of life had that kind of relationship, and now we do. This is why I am firm in believing about restoration. God can do anything. I don't believe the question is God's willingness. I believe the question is our willing to believe that He will. Do we believe that? How many of us have ever had grace happen on us? You weren't expecting it. You weren't even praying for it. And grace happened. We didn't deserve it, we didn't earn it, we didn't ask for it, we didn't pray for it, and grace happened. You know, I mentioned about a month ago when we were talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, about that family that was ready to pull the plug on this young man who for all intents and purposes was brain dead. And the computers, their monitors there, I don't know what they call them, in the hospital, there were no lines. It was just a flat line in their brain waves. And there was not registering life. So the family's there. You know, you can imagine before the doctor walks in to pull the plug, the family is there weeping, saying their goodbyes. The doctor comes in, pulls the plug, and he is raised from the dead. Oh, Pastor Joe, that passed away with the early church disciples. Who's ever heard that? How many of y'all reject that? I reject that with all that is in me. Right? Is God not still the God of the impossible? Right? Shouldn't our prayers complement His greatness? Instead of our unworthiness or our lack of faith. To be sure, you know, who's ever been in that point where that father of a son who had been demonized and the demons threw him into the fire to burn him or into the water to drown him, that the father said to Jesus, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Who's ever been there? I've been there. How many of y'all know that God will still honor that prayer? I believe, but help my unbelief. But God calls us to be honest with Him. Lord, this is where I'm at. Can you meet me where I'm at and my little weak faith? And it's okay. We all have come to points of crisis of faith, crises of faith. I have a friend of mine that lost two very special people in her life. A good friend of the family's died young. He was a friend of mine too. Died of cancer. The whole church was praying for him. She was praying. She was leading prayer vigils. And he passed. And that was a deep blow to them. That was a deep blow to the entire church. And then another guy, I knew him. He kind of rallied to me. He was running the cross-country coach in Mason City. He died recently of COVID complications. And he wasn't up in age, and he was healthy. He's a cross-country coach. You know, he was probably about 60. Died. We all experience crises of faith. But even in our crisis of faith, the Lord is saying, will you come to me with your tattered faith? Will you come to me as you are? I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to condemn you. Will you come to me in the shreds of faith, and I will heal you and I will restore your faith? Who believes that the Lord can restore our faith? Amen? I mean, He's a good God. Did He not restore Peter? We looked at this when we were talking about, the kingdom of darkness. You know, Satan wanted to sift Peter's faith like wheat. But Jesus said, but I've prayed for you. That's a big difference, is Jesus is praying for us. Even at our lowest point, Jesus is praying for us. And He said, I love this. This is one of, wow. How many of y'all get goosebumps just thinking about some of the scripture and the promises in the scripture? I do. It just blows my mind. Jesus didn't tell Peter, if you return. He said, no, when you return, strengthen your brothers. Wow. Talk about faith. Does Jesus not have more faith in us than some of us have in ourselves? How many of y'all, if you were a betting person, I know nobody here puts bets on anything or buys lottery tickets. But if you were a betting person, would you have bet money on Peter? I wouldn't. I thought, this is a sure failure. Yet because Jesus prayed for him, he was a dark horse, wasn't he? So let's land this plane. So what is my encouragement? 2021, why not throw caution to the wind? Why not ask big? Why not pray big? Why not believe big? Why not ask this amazing God for things that only He can perform? Where no person, no man, no woman, no boy, no child had a hand in it. Why not ask the Lord for the impossible? Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for your love for us, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your precious word. It is truly honey on our lips. It is truly manna to our souls. It is truly a compass to our morals, Lord, and our ethics and our values. We pray, Lord God, for your mighty strength, for a boost, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, help us to receive it as a challenge to believe you for big and more in this particular year. In Jesus' name, amen.